How's everybody doing today? Everybody good? Come on. Hey, can we give it up for our worship team and our production team that makes everything happen during that time? Listen, the worship, both services today has just been anointed. God's all over it. And, you know, I really believe that God's, there's something, he's been moving in our church for a long time, but he's doing something fresh right now. There's something stirring in the spirit realm that God is really moving in a lot of people's lives. And I love it that he moves on Labor Day weekend. Isn't it awesome? And we get to be a part of it. Listen, I just want to tell you, I really believe that the reason why God is moving all the time, but really stirring right now, is because of what takes place on Wednesday nights, our Converge service. And listen, if you're here and you have not been to prayer, so it's a prayer service. Some of you are like, man, I ain't going to prayer service, man. Like, I ain't getting up in front of nobody and praying. Look, we ain't going to ask anybody here to stand up and pray out loud in your thousand these, okay? Basically, it's a more of a private time, but it is a time that is radically different than probably most prayer services you've ever been to. And so I would say that people who come to that prayer service will tell you it's their favorite night of the week, okay? And so if you've not been, I just want to challenge you. This week we have First Wednesday. And First Wednesday we have live worship. We do a lot longer set than what we did up here. And last in August, it was like strong. I'm talking about like Jesus just sat down in the house. And I want to challenge you to come and be a part. Listen, we're a part of a movement taking place right now, and I want to encourage you to come and be a part of why the movement's taking place. And it's taking place in what I believe is the boiler room of our church, which is prayer. There's something that happens when the people of God pray. When we pray, God moves, okay? And so come be a part of a movement, all right? And come pray with us on Wednesday night, 6:30 to 7:30. We usually do it for right at about an hour. There's several other times during the week that we pray and stuff also, but that's one we focus on with the church, okay? So come be a part. Something that's radically different. Would love for you to come and be a part. Now, listen, while I'm just kind of giving some announcements, let me just share a few other things. September is a big month for us, okay? Next week, we are celebrating 8 years as Desperation Church, and I'm excited about that. Come on. Fires me up. Excited what God's done in our church in 8 years. So we're going to be celebrating a lot. Lots of things planned for next week. You do not want to miss next week. You want to be here. And this starts September the 16th, something we have not done in years. We did it probably the first year that we were here, and I felt like it went over like a pregnant pole vaulter, so we hadn't done it again in a while. But we're going to do At the Movies starting September the 16th. We will not tell you what At the Movies are until you get here. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, we will not have it on Facebook Live those 3 weeks because we'll get lots of trouble, okay? So the big picture is At the Movies is coming up starting September 16th. It'll be about 3 weeks. And it's a time to invite people who don't normally go to church. It's a time to come. And if you got people who are unchurched, lost, prodigals, however you want to say it, I would bring them. I think it's going to be an absolutely incredible time. I think you'll absolutely love it if you've never been a part of At the Movies. And it's just going to be radically different, but it's going to be really, really good. Okay, so come and be a part September the 16th. We're starting that. So really, really looking forward to it. Hey, today is our last week in this series, Training Days. I sure am hoping and praying that this is a series that's challenged you. We've kind of put some hands and feet to it, asking you to go read the book of John and reading about a chapter a day. And we're still seeing people online, put stuff online and stuff. And look, you're coming into the last week of it, all right? We're coming into the last week. And so I want to challenge you today to finish well, finish strong, move forward, keep pressing through. You should probably finish Saturday. If you're behind, don't beat yourself up. Just keep on reading, okay? And learn some things about Jesus. How many of you learned some things about the book of John that you never knew about? Throw your hands up while you've been reading. Come on. That's what I absolutely love. I'm learning from you, and hopefully you're learning from other people that they're seeing inside the scripture, the gold nuggets that's there, okay? I really believe the Gospel of John is a beautiful picture of Jesus, and so I'm so glad that we're going through this together. And listen, Saturday's supposed to be the last day, so what are you going to do next? You got a plan yet, all right? Don't do it whenever Pastor Andy tells you or ask you or challenge you to do it. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit inside of you challenge you to start in another book? Why don't you start in the book of Acts, learn how the church started, and learn about how God moved and the Holy Spirit came down and moved in large, large ways, okay? So why don't you on your own start in another book? And I would just challenge you to start in Acts and maybe do the same thing you're doing or maybe stretch it a little bit more. We'll talk a little bit about that today, okay? So this is our last message in this series called Training Days. And we've basically been taking physical training and comparing it to spiritual training. We know that physical training is good, but spiritual training is better. That one lasts for eternity and one lasts just for the here and now. Both of them are good, but one is better. And so we've been kind of comparing the two. And so I'm hoping today that you get something out of today and it challenges you just a little bit to press through and to press on and let God move in you. This is what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Is everybody here? Can I hear you? Okay, come on. Okay, thank you for 10 of you. I'm glad 10 of you in the house. I'm speaking to you, bless Jesus, all right? Here's what it says, 1 Timothy 4, 8 and 9. It says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Promising, it's a promise. If you will train yourself spiritually, there's promises that will benefit this life. There are promises that will benefit this life if you will train yourself spiritually, all right? And in the life to come, this is a trustworthy saying. In other words, everybody can believe it. This is truth. This is a saying that you can trust, that when you train yourself spiritually, good things will happen, benefits will happen. And it says, and everyone should accept it. All of us should accept that spiritual training in godliness is good stuff, all right? So here's what we're going to do. We got three more points today that I want to help coach you through. And the whole goal of this in this series is to help teach you how to walk with God, how to train you to live the life God has called you to, and how to walk in abundant life. And also, honestly, maybe to stir in you a little bit if you really struggle in your walk with God, because I really believe a lot of people really struggle in their personal walk. If you're really struggling, my goal is to do everything I can to help get behind you and give you a little nudge to keep on going after God, okay? Now listen, here's something that some of you may disagree with because maybe you've never heard it this way before, but I need you to listen to me all the way through when I say this. This is my passion as a pastor, all right? It is not my job. I said this Wednesday night. Some of you guys were there Wednesday night. It is not my job to feed you. It is my job to make you hungry. It is not my job to feed you. It is my job to make you hungry to feed yourself. Listen, if you're living off just Andy's manna that God has given me, you will starve during the rest of the week. But God has got manna. He has got manna, by the way, for all the people who are here today, like never been to church before, like, hey, what is manna? Like, it's like bread back in the Old Testament. I'm sorry, I should have just said it's Merida Bakery bread, all right? Listen, He has got food for you spiritually, personally, that he wants to give you. And all he's doing is waiting on you to respond into a relationship with him and grow in your relationship with him so that he can give you words for yourself personally. Listen, I think you better 100, I think it's good. You need to be at church. We need to be together. But the big picture is, for those in this room, like, well, bless God, I'm just not getting fed there. I'm just going to have to go find somewhere else to go. It's not my job to feed you. My job is to make you hungry, to go after Jesus as hard as you can. I want you pursuing God. I want you hungering for Jesus. Not living off of my hunger. Gain your hunger. Go after God hard. Some of y'all are like, I don't know if I really believe that. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the one that feeds his sheep. And the way you get fed is you know Jesus. And so I challenge you to chase after Jesus. That's what this whole series is about in a nutshell, all right? So I'm going to do everything I can to challenge you to hopefully make you hungry today for more of God. So the first point I want to share with you today in the area of spiritual fitness is, number one, people train different ways at different times. People train different ways at different times. Now, my goal with this point is to give you freedom in how you pursue the Lord. It's to give you freedom in how you seek the Lord. A lot of people feel like there's really only one way to do it, and I'm hoping I give you freedom and let you know that there are several different ways. God wired everybody different, and I believe to pursue him differently, all right? So we'll come around to that, all right? Now, I want you to think about, like, physical fitness. When it comes to physical fitness, there are a lot of different ways to work out. There's a lot of different ways to get physically fit. Now, I run on a regular basis. When I'm running, a lot of times I see people riding bicycles and they do something with those shorts you wear that are really, really tight. Just nasty when you get off that bicycle. Stay on the bicycle. I don't want to see that. Listen, a lot of people bodybuild, like which way to the weight room, all right? A lot of people do cardio. Maybe they do that with swimming. A lot of people swim. There are a lot of people that do CrossFit. Any CrossFitters in the house? So you ain't saying nothing. Okay, I got one over here. I hear he proud and glad and proud. And then you know. Insanity is good. You do that at the house where nobody can watch you bounce up and down. Listen, Pilates. I have no clue what that is. I just know it's a workout. Somebody, I have never heard of this, but somebody told me that there is a workout called Body by Emily. Has anybody ever heard of that? Somebody asked me the other day, like, hey, do you do Body by Emily? I'm like, no, I do Body by Pizza. Like, no, not even close. P90X, a lot of people, this is old school, Tybo with Billy Blanks. You know, maybe the, oh, shoot, a monkey, that hurt. Listen, Tybo, that didn't sound right. Listen, he does something where he does this right here. Like, is that right? Okay, y'all all do Tybo. I know what y'all doing. I'm pretty sure. You can tell I ain't done crunches in a long time. That kind of hurt, Billy. Listen, a lot of people do yoga. Like, just get in touch with your inner self. It's absolutely incredible. It's meditation. And get in touch with nature. All right, listen, aerobics. I just hurt everybody's feelings that does yoga. That's not what it's like, Andy. I promise you. Okay, get rid of the stuff you're smoking. Listen, Zumba. There's all kinds of different ways to work out. Listen, in the same way that there are people who get spiritually fit in different ways, in physical ways, there's different ways that you could get spiritually fit pursuing God. You know, a lot of people think that the only way that you can really pursue God is I got to wake up super early in the morning, and I'm not a morning person, and I hate it with a passion, and I got to get up, and I got to spend hours in prayer, and I got to write in my journal, and I've got to do all this kind of stuff. And we've talked about this in here before. But the big picture is there are people that are wired that way to do that. Listen, I would just challenge you. If you think that's the only, and listen, a lot of people are like, man, the reason why you struggle and the reason why you don't really pursue God on your own because you really believe that's the only way to be spiritual is to do it that way. And I would completely disagree. Listen, God wired everybody different. And I believe in the way that we're wired that we can find something that fits us to pursue God. For some of you, you got a long drive during the day. Some of you, all you do during the day is drive for your job. You know, some of you, that's your time with Jesus. Is you worshiping God? You're talking to God? Some of you listen to audio, a Bible on the radio or whatever you call it, audio books, Bible apps, whatever. Listen, but you know, there's people that's their time with Jesus. Don't beat yourself up because that's how you search, you know, chase after God. Now, the only thing I would encourage you with is that whenever a good worship song like So Will I comes on, don't lift your hands while you're driving and close your eyes. That'll be dangerous for everybody. You will literally meet Jesus like personally, face to face. That will be a good thing. A bad thing. Don't do that. Listen, or a good thing. Oh, anyway, I'm stuck. I'm moving on. Listen. Some people spend time with the Lord at night. It's better for them. They get more out of it at night. Some people spend time with the Lord on their lunch break. And I'm cool with that. God's cool with that. Some people fast for 3 days. Some people fast for 21. Some people fast for 40. Some people listen to podcasts that helps them grow. Some people have devotions. But listen, there's not just one way to pursue God. That what I would tell you to do is just to do something. Do something in your pursuit of Jesus. Listen, don't just do nothing because you feel like there's only one way to do it. There's nothing wrong with writing in journals. It doesn't work for me. I've tried it before. Listen, I went on a mission trip to Spain in the 90s, and I wrote a journal, all right, because I want to get spiritual, and I'm going to sit down every day, and I'm going to write a journal. And I got about 4 days, and I didn't finish it out. But listen, this is no lie. I went back about a year ago and found that journal and started reading it, but I couldn't read it because I can't read my writing. Thank God, God knows my own writing because I couldn't read anything that I wrote in it. It was like, your handwriting is terrible, Andy. You should be a doctor. Listen, no offense, doctors, but anyway, listen, moving on. The big picture is you can pursue God in the way that it fits you. I think God's just happy that you're meeting with him. He longs to be with you. There's more ways than getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's awesome. But don't make me feel like I'm doing it wrong because I don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I have my best time on my lawnmower. It happens. There are times that I'm running and I'm laying on the ground and God has given me CPR and he's speaking into me because I can't breathe, but God's moving. Listen, you know, what I've learned throughout my life, I've heard people say this, and this is kind of true for me, kind of, not as big a big, but I've heard people say, I pray for about 10 minutes or less, but I usually don't go 10 minutes or less without praying. And basically what they're saying is I walk through life with God on the forefront of my mind, and my relationship with him is throughout the day. By the way, your relationship with God is not just an hour a day, or 30 minutes a day, or 15 minutes a day, then I go about my business. It's an all-day kind of deal. So you're walking through life, and maybe God just puts on your spirit to pray for the person sitting next to you. Maybe God puts on in your gut to pray for somebody in, you know, wherever you're at in the gym, or maybe at Walmart, or I don't know, but you're walking with God on a regular basis. There's things that as I do life, God puts in my spirit, and I just have a conversation with God about it immediately. Puts people in my spirit, and I just have a conversation with God immediately and just continue to move on. The thing about it is God is an all-time God. He's not a 4 in the morning God. He's not a 12 midnight God. Or if you're doing 12 midnight, you a stud, all right? He's not just a before you go to bed at God. He is an all-time God. And God is always there just wanting to have conversation with you. And by the way, let me just go ahead and throw this out there to you. Praying is a lot more listening than it is talking. Listen, the Bible says to ask him for what you need in your life. You talk to him 100%, but I'm telling you, there's nothing greater than hearing the voice of God. And how do you learn the voice of God? You develop your spiritual muscle and you begin to discern and know when God's speaking to you. That's a whole nother message in and of itself, all right? Let me move on. So what happens is a lot of times, like kind of like in the fitness world, this is what happens with us a lot of times in our walk with God. You know, in the fitness world, there's a place where there are people that believe that their way of fitness is elite. That is the only way to do fitness. By the way, this week I was at a restaurant and there was a CrossFitter and a vegan in there. The way I know is because they came and told me, but it's all good. Listen, okay, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's all good. They went over like a pregnant pole vaulter. The bodybuilder at the gym, you know, walks up and is like, hey, dude, like, I've had this happen to me literally. You know, he's swole and walks up like, yo, dude, you know you're doing that wrong, don't you? Like, yes, sir. Like, hey, dude, leave me alone. I'm just trying to work out. You're already done, all right, because you're a muscle head. You're through. You look great. Let me do my business. I'll be honest with you. Do my business. That didn't sound right either. So I have to leave. I have to leave and never come back because I don't want to be embarrassed by anybody in the area of working out because I'm really weak. But the big picture is that it's amazing how we can get to the place of thinking that the way we work out is the only way that is the right way. And if you don't work out like me, then you ain't got it right. Well, we could do that also in spiritual fitness. We could do that in the Christian realm also. There are people who believe that they are elite because they get up early in the morning. Or just because they just read their Bible and pray. They begin to think some way, form, or fashion that they are elite in their spiritual fitness. And I would challenge you, don't judge someone because they seek the Lord different than you do. In the same way, you should not judge somebody because they physically work out different than you do. Listen, they like the physical part, but the spiritual part. Listen, when you really walk with Jesus, and let's just play pretend like you're waking up every morning at 4 a.m. just to spend time with Jesus, then honestly, that should produce in you an excitement that people around you are pursuing the Lord, not a judgmental spirit. You should be excited that somebody else is pursuing the Lord, even though it doesn't look the way that you're pursuing the Lord. But you're just pumped that somebody's walking with Jesus. You can't get arrogant. Listen, when you begin to thinking you've arrived because you're doing it a certain way that other people aren't, it leads to a place of spiritual arrogance. Happens all through the scripture. And to be honest with you, it's incredibly blinding. It's something that none of us have a clue that it's there, not until the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Listen to Luke 18, 9 through 14. There's two guys involved here. One's a Pharisee and one's a tax collector. It says, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So Jesus is telling a parable to this group of people who probably have no clue that they trust themselves in themselves for the purpose of righteousness. They probably have no clue. They're blind to it. So he's telling them a story. You know, in the same way, there are people probably in this room who are blind to that there's a place where you, there are people here probably trusting themselves to produce righteousness towards God. And the only way righteousness towards God can ever take place is only through the blood of Jesus. But these Pharisees really thought that they were doing something. Jesus uses this story. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, or this. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this little peon tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other one. So the one that beat his chest, the tax collector, the sinner, who recognized his need for God, was justified more than the person who'd been doing all the works to make himself righteous. He says, rather than the other one, he says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Exalted? Exalted. Exalted too. Listen. So this is probably where people in this room right here, especially those who really pursue the Lord, who are really going after God, who might think the series that we're doing right now is just like, oh, this is just, you know, this is just lightweight. I'm glad I'm already there. All right. Which they're probably in here somewhere. These are the people that probably, if you're one that pursues God, you probably need to ask God just to see if this is you, to take his divine flashlight to go into the depths of your soul and show you you. Because religious pride and arrogance is blinding and you'll never know it. Not unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, or not unless somebody that loves you, that you trust, has got change in their pocket, can come and tell you. And most of the time, that really ticks them off. But you know how you could tell if you got spiritual pride? This is where you got to. This is a dangerous prayer. You ready? Especially for those that try to pursue him. This is where it gets dangerous. I want you to pray a prayer, dangerous prayer, and say, God, I want the Holy Spirit to reveal to me every time I'm talking about myself when it comes to pursuing you. When I say the word I, reveal it to me. Did you notice the text just a minute ago? Look at the text again. Here's the Pharisee. What does he say? He says, the Pharisee standing there with him said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. You can tell quickly by somebody that's walking in religion and somebody that's walking in relationship. Somebody that's walking in religion talks about themselves a lot and don't even realize it. Everybody else does. People that walk in relationship, they talk about Jesus and they talk about their need for Jesus. Two totally different things. I dare you to pray the prayer, God, reveal to me the times that I'm trying to raise myself up. Because what it probably reveals more than anything else, and this might be something that God's wanting to set you free from, which, by the way, that's probably not everybody in this room. And I would say, even if it is you, because I've been there before, I promise you, God's revealed it to me and still does reveal it to me at times. But what I'd say is just keep pressing through. Because here's the deal, God's going to do everything he can to get rid of you and put more of him in you. And so it's good when God allows the Holy Spirit to convict us and show us, like, hey, by the way, you're trying to lift up your own platform. I want you to listen to how many times you talk about yourself in the area of pursuing me. Because what you really believe is what I was trying to get to just a second ago, is that you really believe that your works are making God proud of you. All these things, boy, God loves me now. He's proud of me. When in reality, what makes God proud of you is the blood of Jesus Christ that covers you. All those things, I this, I that. Well, who gives you the capability of doing that? It's only Jesus. So it's nothing, it's all him. It's what he's doing in and through you. There is a place of obedience, yeah. But there's a place where God is the one convicting you, moving in you. Don't get to the place where you get cocky and start thinking like, look what I've done. Woo, that's the nastiness of church. We talk about that a lot in here. I'm sorry for all the spiritual people. Like, man, we've already talked about this, Andy. I'm talking to you. Yeah. You got to keep talking. Listen, one guy in this parable, one guy recognizes works to God. The other recognizes need for God. Do you see your need for God? One recognized his own righteousness. The other saw his depravity, his sinfulness. Listen, one of the ways that you grow spiritually, and this is so backwards to what a lot of us believe, is that we allow God to reveal to us our flesh. Allow God to reveal to us our depravity and our sinfulness. And then we walk next to the cross, not guilt and shame, but we see it. We ask the Holy Spirit to set us free from it, and we begin to put it to death so that we can walk more in the Holy Spirit. Walk in the power of who God's called us to walk in. So, you got to see that one trusted in himself, the other trusted in God. Who you trusting in? You trusting in your works, or you trusting in the in God? You trusting in your own righteousness, or you trusting in God's righteousness? Listen, it's so easy to sit here and think that none of us trust in our own righteousness, but I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And there's a place where I have to just get really, really honest with God. And say, God, I have dropped the ball. I've been trusting in myself and my works more than you. Let God change your heart in that. Begin to trust in him. All right, let's move on. Number two, you have to add weight to handle more weight. You have to add weight to your spiritual life or to your physical working out to handle more weight. Listen, if you work out physically, if you work out with the same weight for 3 years and never add weight, you'll stop seeing results. The only way your muscle grows is to give your muscle resistance. It's the only way. Listen, if I had this dream, if I had this dream of, which by the way, it is a pipe dream. If I had a dream and a goal of wanting to bench 315 pounds, listen, I'm not going to go 5 years bench pressing 135 every single day thinking that I'm going to get to that 315. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bench 135 and I'm going to keep going. Then there's going to be a day that I add about 5 pounds on to go a little extra. And then whenever I get that pretty easy, I'm going to add another 10 pounds on to go a little extra. Then when I get that pretty easy, I'm going to add another little 10 pounds on. It's baby steps. It's moving closer and closer to where I want to get to. And in the same way, the only way that we grow spiritually is to give ourselves resistance. You want to grow spiritually? You can't keep doing the same thing you've always done. Which, by the way, I'm glad you're doing something, but I'm trying to help people in the house grow too. This means doing more spiritually in our pursuit of God that will make our flesh die and our spirit grow. Our spiritual muscles grow. God wants your flesh to die. He wants less of you, more of him. And so we begin to do things different instead of doing the exact same thing. So if you're here, maybe you're here and you don't tithe, which is a spiritual discipline. You don't tithe. Maybe you're scared to. Maybe you get to the end of your month and you're like, man, I ain't got no money to tithe. Well, what I would challenge you to do is to stretch yourself spiritually. And why don't you start off, the very first check that you write when you get your paycheck in is your tithe. Because what will happen is that will develop your faith. All right, God, I'm going to trust you that whenever I get down to the end, that there's going to be something there for me to be able to pay my bills. And what happens with, and you can ask anybody in this room that has done this before, will tell you that I give out of what I don't have, but I always have what I never thought I had. All right? At the very end, there's always stuff at the very end of the month when I give the very first. And it'll stretch you. How many in the house have seen that happen before in your own life? Throw your hands up. Come on. For all those in this room that's scared to death to stretch yourself spiritually in the area of tithe and look around, those are testimonies of what God's doing in people's lives. Money is one of the things that will keep us back in a hurry from faith. It's one of the ways that God stretches our faith too. Maybe you're here and you've done a 3-day fast. I would challenge you, do a 7-day. Maybe here you've done a 3-day Daniel fast, all right, which is mainly vegetables, anything grows from the ground. Maybe you change that and just do a liquid fast for 3 days. I don't know, but stretch yourself, add on to it. What are ways that you can stretch your muscle, build your muscle spiritually? Maybe you're literally just standing during worship, which I'm just glad you're here. I'm not beating you up. Don't feel like I'm beating you up. But what I would say is, what if I encouraged you at some point? Maybe you start here with just your hands opened up like a sacrifice. And then maybe whenever you get the courage to start lifting your hands just a little bit more, to start feeling the expression of freedom in worshiping God. Just that, something that small. Remember, we're not going from 135 pounds to 200 pounds. We're going from 135 pounds to 140. We're taking the baby steps to get stronger. But you can't keep doing the same thing you've always done and expect more. Start growing. Now listen, some of you have just started reading your Bible and I'm fired up. You're doing something. You're getting stronger. And one day there's going to be, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you and challenge you to do something else. I promise you, the more you grow. Maybe it's leading a small group. Maybe it's just attending one. So we start on September the 9th. They're already online right now. You need to go and register for a small group. Get to know people around you in your church family that will help you grow spiritually. Listen, when I tell you all these, I'm not saying become a spiritual Arnold overnight. I'm saying it's going to be a long process. It's a journey. The only way to grow is to give yourself some resistance. You got to go up in weight one day. And one day that weight that you were so afraid of will be easy and you'll have to add more. Stretch yourself. Third thing is to be spiritually fit, to be physically fit, to be any of that, you got to push through walls when you want to quit. Now, anybody that disagrees with what I'm about to say really has probably never really walked with God, apparently. But what I've learned is that there will be times when you want to quit pursuing the Lord in your walk with God. And by the way, there are people in here who have quit. And I would say, just like I said the very first week that we started this series, I would say lay your stick down. Jesus is sitting there with arms wide open. He's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He's just asking you to come back. I'm just waiting on you. I got something for you. I want to speak to you. I want to challenge you. I want to be a part of your life. I want to love you. I want to wrap you up. I want to walk through with you through difficult times. I'm just sitting here waiting on you. So stop not doing nothing. Do something and let him meet you where you are because he loves you. All right? So there's going to be times you want to quit. There's going to be seasons in your life where the last thing you want to do is worship. I've had those moments in my life. Don't feel like worshiping. But what I've learned is even when I don't feel like worshiping, I go ahead and worship through not feeling like worshiping. It's amazing how God always has something on the other side of it. That's good stuff. Listen, there'll be times when you feel like everyone in the room is connected with God except you. Anybody ever felt that way? Like, hey, God, what's wrong with me? I mean, they over here weeping and gnashing of teeth and like, oh God. Like they got the Shekinah glory. The lights are out of here, but I can see them beaming like a nightlight, man. Like, God, they are on fire. Like, what about me? What are they doing in their life that's dearer than me? You feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling. You feel like God's on the other side of the world. Honestly, you hear me. Trust me on this. It's in those times where you don't feel God that God's moving the most in your life. He's teaching you something. It's a season that you want to quit in, but God's wanting to grow your faith in. I believe he's doing more in the moments that we want to quit than in any other season of our life. God grows you more in the valley than he will the mountaintop. Both of them are growth times, but I'm telling you, the valley, where God just don't feel like he'll feel like he's on the other side of the world is the times that God grows you the most. But that's where the enemy plays dirty. That's where the enemy will start coming to you and saying things like, hey, what's the point? God said his presence was always going to be, well, you don't feel it. You might as well just go ahead and quit. Or what's the point? You're reading the Bible and don't even understand it. So what's the point of even reading it? Man, you're praying and God's not even answering your prayers. He's not hearing nothing you got to say. So what's the point of praying? He's accusing you. He's coming against you. He's trying to get you to stop because he knows that if you can get through that wall, that there's something on the other side that's great and it will make you stronger for the next time you don't feel God. It's going to build your faith. Walking in who he is. Listen, y'all have heard me say this 1,000 times. I'm going to say it again. Now, just a friendly reminder. Listen, there's nowhere in the scripture God has never said, God's never called anybody to walk by feelings. God's called everybody to walk by faith. And I'm going to walk with God whether I feel him or whether I don't. I'm going to pursue him. I'm going to chase him. I'm going to go after him. Listen, I'm not concerned about your past, and he isn't either, because he died for it. He died for your past. He died for your present. And you're saying, well, I just don't feel him because I've done too much in my life. Well, the thing about it is you got to walk by faith that God has covered that and chase after the one that loves you and has forgiven you. And he'll move on you, stir in you. Listen, when you don't feel like it's when you go after him harder. You got to get through the wall. Get through it. God's not called you to walk by feelings. He's called you to walk by faith. You know, I told y'all this. I run with a group of guys about every morning, and we're training. Now, by the way, I got to confess. Apparently, I say it wrong. My wife let me know last week. Like, Andy, you're not running a marathon. Like, a mile is a marathon. Anytime I'm running with my heart rate up, it is a marathon, all right? So I've got to confess, apparently I'm running a half marathon, which is like running from here to Hansville and back, by the way. That's a long ways, all right? That's a long way. Wallace State and back, are you kidding me? Not fun? So we're training. We're in the process of training right now. And one of the guys, when we first started running, Pastor Tom, First Baptist pastor right down the road here, one of the first things he said, I still remember today. I always thought it was awesome what he said. And he's hilarious, and we laugh a lot and have a lot of fun. But he said, listen, when you get to that place of hitting that wall, like there's going to come a time when you're running or you're working out and you get to a place of hitting that wall. He said, you got to put the prosecutor in your head to death. There's a little bitty lawyer, like a little baby lawyer with a little suit on and vest on and stuff, just telling you all the reasons why. If you're a lawyer here and you wear those, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make fun of you. I'm not really, I'm with you. You hope you're not mine one day, because it's bad if I need a lawyer. Anyway, listen, so he says that you gotta put the prosecutor, you gotta put the lawyer to death in your head, telling you to stop, telling you, hey, you can't go no more. You gotta put it to death and you gotta keep going. You got to keep moving. Put the prosecutor to death. And so now every time I get to that wall of running, I'm like, prosecutor, be gone. I die. Like, I'm trying my best. Like, I can't even breathe. I can't even talk. Look, but the big picture is that, you know, in the spiritual life, there's a place where we come to these walls in our life that you have a prosecutor. He's called the accuser of the brethren and the sistren. And he wants to do everything he can to accuse you of why you need to stop, why you need to quit, while God and the Holy Spirit is inside of you screaming, push through the wall, push through the wall. And the enemy's saying, why should you do it? You don't know much about the Bible. All the sins that you've done in your life and your past, and maybe even last night or even today, maybe there's a place where the enemy is accusing you of all these things, trying to get you to stop. And I would say the number one thing he wants you to do is to quit, because I'm telling you, he knows that on the other side of the wall is a harvest that's waiting for God to use you in large, large ways. You got to push through. Put the accuser to death. Don't listen. Listen, some of you have got to that wall and the accuser won and you quit. There's people in this room that said, I've heard people say this a lot. Man, there's one time in my life where I was just on fire for God. I don't know what happened, but man, I just ain't walking with him no more. I tell you what happened. It's the enemy, the accuser of the brethren. You bought into his lies and not the truth of Jesus. And what I would tell you to do is that when you get to the place where you don't feel him, when you get to the place where there's a wall, when you get to the place where it feels like God's on the other side of the world, you got to keep pressing through. You got to keep pressing through. You got to walk in the wilderness like everybody else does. You got to walk in the valley. You got to move through the storms, because there is another side to the storms. I promise you. And when you get there, your faith is stronger than it ever was before. And it will give you more reason. The next time it happens, you'll know and notice like, oh, I got it now. The enemy's trying to halt me from knowing more of God, because if I know more of God, I'll push back the gates of hell a little bit harder, and he don't like it. So I got people I got to reach and a life to live, and I got to do things for God. And so you move. You don't stop. So if you're here today and you've quit, your heart's still beating in your chest, and you have a God that's full of grace and mercy that's waiting on you to come to him. So pick yourself back up and get back into training games and watch what God does with you. It's large stuff. Listen, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not quit. The only thing that will keep you from experiencing a harvest is if you quit. The only thing that will keep you from experiencing abundant life and the rewards and the joy that I read about this morning in John 15, the things that God has for you, the only thing that will keep you back is if you quit. Don't quit. Listen, the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you know why I know you can do it? You know why I know that you don't have to quit? Because there's people that's gone before you, that's dead and gone, that's in heaven right now, that's chasing, that's cheering you from heaven, and they've done and gone through the exact same things that you've gone through. They know what it's like. Christian life's not easy. Man, you got the world, the devil. You got your flesh up against you, but you got somebody greater than all those. You got the Holy Spirit that's powerful that lives inside of you. You push through it. This is what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, who's the great cloud of witnesses? It's all the people that's gone before us. There is a large mass group of people in heaven that's standing around looking here at you, that's cheering you on from the heavens, saying, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. You just keep pushing through, trusting God, trusting the Holy Spirit. Keep Jesus as the center of your life. Let your hunger be of Jesus and go after him. You can do it. The Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses. It's everybody that's gone before us that's cheering you on, because they're saying, we need you in the 21st century. We did our time. We've handed the baton down. The baton's yours now. You go. See, if everybody in this room pursues God like God's called us to as individuals, it makes the church that much stronger. And not only does it make the church stronger, it makes the community stronger. Not only makes the community stronger, it makes our state and our nation and our world stronger when we do it together. That's why it's important we do it on our own. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Your race, your calling is marked out. Your purpose is marked out. Your potential is marked out. God's got it marked out for it, but you got to run to get it. And you run with Jesus. I'm running the race that God's already marked out. My life is marked. God knows what it looks like. And to achieve what God's called me to, I can't quit. I gotta pursue. I gotta keep going. I don't stop. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. That's what he's doing. He's wanting to perfect your faith. He's wanting you to grow in faith. I fix my eyes on Jesus. Don't fix your eyes on Andy. I'll let you down. Don't fix your eyes on your small group leader. They'll let you down. Don't even fix your eyes on your great granny who reads the Bible left and right more than anybody you've ever met in your life. Listen, they'll let you down too. The only one that will not let you down is Jesus. You fix your eyes on Jesus and you go for the prize. The prize is him. Go after him and let God move in you and through you. Him do great things in your life. Man, there's a crowd of people cheering you on. And so some of you need your second wind. Second wind is this phenomenon that in distance running or marathons or road running or just honestly all sports, where an athlete who is out of breath and too tired to continue suddenly finds the strength to press on at top performance with less exertion. There's some of you in this room right now, God wants to breathe into you your second wind. I believe he's going to do that for a lot of you. You know, there's times that I'm running, I can't breathe, I'm trying to put that prosecutor to death. And it's amazing, it really is true, that there's a place where you get a second wind and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what just happened? Do you know that the word pneuma, is the Greek word for the Holy Spirit, means breath or wind? And there's a place when we're walking with the Holy Spirit that God allows us to get to a wall in our lives because he grows us into walls. When we get to the wall, that's where God begins to grow us. But if we will press through the wall, there's a place where the Holy Spirit breathes in us and he gives us a wind, a second wind to continue to move, and we get stronger in moving towards him. I challenge you. Let's go after Jesus together, individually. What do you do when John's over? When you get done reading the book of John, this is something the whole church, but what are you doing? You got a plan yet? Get a plan. Pursue God. It's not just one way to do it. Do it the way that fits you. I'm going to finish with this. Yesterday, in this crazy training we're doing for this half marathon. Did you get that, Leah? Listen, half marathon, 13 miles, 13.1 miles. Don't let me forget that point one. So we had to run 5 miles yesterday, and I was in the back with another guy. And we was having a conversation. He works in the school system in Coleman County. And he said, man, I feel like I figured out a way to really connect with kids in the school about God. He said, I'll ask kids questions like this, and I'm going to ask you this same question. He said, I'll ask kids questions like, hey, let's just say your life is 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. How would you describe your life? Where would you be? What number would you fit in at? And he says 90% of the time, most kids say 5 or 6. If you say a 10, you're a little arrogant. If you say 1 or more, he's going to have a counseling session with me. So most kids say about 5 or 6. So I ask you the same question. In your life, if you was to describe to me what your life is, 1 to 10, where would you be? 1 to 10. If you was just to get honest and say, this is where I would rate my life. He says the next thing he asked him, he's like, hey, well, what makes it a 5 or a 6? What makes your life a 5 or a 6? So ask yourself that. I'm about a 5 or a 6. What makes it a 5 or a 6? Why is your life a 5 or a 6? What? Just help me understand. You don't have to say that loud, by the way. That'd be awkward. Here's what he says most kids say. Most kids will say, well, man, I got a girlfriend, or I got a boyfriend. I'm pretty good at Fortnite. I make pretty good grades. I play sports. I got an average life, got a good life. So this is what he says. So I'd say the same to you. Well, is that some of your answers? This is what he said. He says, so what happens when your girlfriend breaks up with you? What do you do? What happens? What happens whenever you have that biology test and you make an F on it because you fell asleep and didn't have a chance to study it, and actually your grade doesn't come back as an A or a B, but it comes back as a C or a D on your report card? What do you do then? What happens when you're playing sports and you put everything you got into sports and you break your leg or something and it keeps you from sports? Well, what happens? See, some of you in this room may have said, man, I've got an incredible house. I'm blessed with a good family. I've got a good job, make pretty good money. I got a boat at the lake I'm going to go to today. And if you got one of those, I'll be glad to go with you and hang out. Listen, there's people in this room start saying things like, man, I got all this stuff. So let me ask you this. So what happens when your boat breaks down like your water pump or your gas pump on your boat? Like, that happens all the time when I go with people, their boat breaks down and I can't ever go out. But it's all good. I got to get some richer friends that's got better boats. I'm just kidding. Listen, I'm just thankful to be on a boat. We just paddle everywhere we go with skis. So what happens, this is extreme, but what happens when your house burns down that you all fired up about? What happens when your family gets sick? What happens? Where does that number go? Because here's the big picture. Life is not about that. That's why I'm challenging you to seek God spiritually. Be spiritually fit. Because the only thing that's constant in your life is Jesus. The only one thing in your life that will keep you at a 10 is Jesus. The only one that is constant whenever your kids get sick or your house burns down or your boat breaks down or you lose your job. Whatever it is, Jesus is constant. He'll walk with you through the mountain. He'll walk with you through the valley. Only Jesus is constant. And listen, if you're not walking with Jesus, then you're missing out on the only thing that really matters in life, the only thing that's constant in your life. And so I would challenge you. This is my last go at it. Listen, today, I want to challenge you with everything that I am. Get spiritually fit. Physically fit is good for this world, but spiritually fit is good for this one and the one to come. And God's got great things for you on the other side. You will reap a harvest, and you will go to heaven and have a reward waiting for you in heaven because it's good for this life and eternal life. Chase God now with everything that you are in the ways that God's called you to. If you miss a couple of days, then keep chasing Him. Don't beat yourself up. Walk after God because He's the only one that's constant. He's the only one that's constant. Stay close to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We lift you up. We glorify you. Thank you, Jesus, that you're constant. Even when we don't feel you, you're still constant. God, strengthen our faith. Perfect our faith. God, make us hungry for Jesus. Make us hungry for you, Father. May we be hungry to pursue you on our own. God, tomorrow the devil, we're going to feel good leaving out of here, but tomorrow the devil going to come knocking. He's going to come knocking Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, he's going to come knocking the next month and the next month. Christmas going to roll around. He's going to come knocking. He's going to do everything he can to shut down our personal walk with you. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that, God, we would stay steady in pursuing you and chasing you and walking with you. And, God, see the benefits on the other side, which is just more of you. Teach us, God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, and you say, Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. I don't have a relationship with God, but I sure would love a relationship with God. Maybe you're online watching. Maybe you're in this room. Listen, if you're here and you say, I want a relationship with Jesus, I would love to help you have a relationship with God. Listen, I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But just so I know, I have somebody in this room that wants a relationship with God. Here's all I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, I'm going to count to three. And all I want you to do is put your hand up and put it right back down. Just so I know, I have somebody here who wants a relationship with God. So if you're here, I'm going to count to three. Just put your hand up and put it right back down if you want a relationship, okay? Here we go. You ready? One, two, three. Where you at? Put your hand up. Put it right back down. I see you. There's two, three, four. I know I saw four. Listen, for those that raise their hands, man, it's an honor to introduce you to Jesus, the great one. Listen, the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, to confess Jesus is Lord of your mouth, to believe in your heart that he's raised again on the third day. And the Bible says, and you will be saved. So what does that look like? It means that no longer do I want to be Lord of my life, but Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. I believe that you died on the cross, that you paid for the penalty of my sin and the wrath of God. There's something that I could not do. And I turn from my sins. I believe that you were buried for 3 days and you rose from the grave, and that today, September the 2nd, 2018, that you're alive and you're well today, and my life is yours. You can have my life. Listen, if that's you, you say, how do I do that, Andy? Well, the Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord. So I think to start a relationship, you need to have a conversation with him. So you can have your own conversation with him, or you can, you know, repeat after me. It's really a heart thing. Say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I turn from my sin. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you took my penalty of sin. I believe you took on the wrath of God, and I turn from my sins. I believe that you were buried, and I believe you rose from the grave, and that today you're alive and well, and you're pursuing me. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for pursuing me today where I am, and meet me. Listen, if that's you, and you just gave your life to Jesus Christ, can we celebrate with them, Desperation Church? Come on, celebrate with them. Listen, here's what I'd say for those that just gave their life to Christ. Man, we're so excited for you. Listen, you got a journey ahead of you. It's an adventure. And we want to help you get that adventure started. So one of the ways we can do that is right here on the screen. If you have your phone with you, maybe you could take your phone out. Text DC1 to the number you see on the screen. That'll come up here in just a second. I don't know where it's at. It'll come up here in a minute. Text DC1 to the number you see on the screen right there. You're going to have some next steps for you right there. One of the things you're going to see on those steps is baptism, the importance of baptism. It's your next step. You're going to reveal to the world, I'm going in the old person, coming out the new. And I'm publicly declaring to the world I'm a follower of Jesus, okay? And listen, if you're here today and you've never been baptized, hey, what's holding you back? Why don't you go back to the info bar and sign up today to get baptized? We do it at the end of September. We do it at the end of every month. We'd love to baptize you. So it's a celebrating time. It's a fun time. And we absolutely celebrate, love celebrate we, okay? So come and be a part of that. So if that's you, hey, if you're here, by the way, and you don't have a telephone that you can put that number in, then just fill out the card that's in your chair and drop it off in one of these buckets right here, okay? And we'll help you out with some next steps, all right? Hey, if you're here today and you say, Andy, God's speaking to me, and I want to be that person that reaps the harvest. I want to be that person that pushes through the wall. I don't want to be self-righteous. I want to be walking in humility and be who God's called me to be. I want a heart for God. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you just throw your hands up? Are you here today? I got mine up. Father, in Jesus' name, may we be a people that walk with you together. May we learn from each other. May we grow together. May we be challenged, God. God, there's nothing else in this world that's more important than you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus, you're the only one that's constant in this world. This world will break down on us in a hurry. God, may we trust you. May we walk with you. May we wrap you up. May you wrap us up. May we love you, walk with you, and have an intimate relationship with you. Father, we love you, we honor you, and we praise you, Jesus, in your precious and holy name.